Hello everyone and welcome to edition 255 of the NRF1 podcast, because Norfolk knows Formula One. This is your F1 podcast straight out of Norfolk, UK, where Team Lotus thrived, Martin Brundle learned to ride with stabilisers, and George Russell, I do remember what his name is, shares a coffee with Alex Albon, although Albon's probably paying at the moment. We are sat here at the iconic and delightful Rush Cutters Public House on the outskirts of Norwich. We are also going out on Future Radio. I think that's still a thing. Thanks, Steve. As well as across all our podcast channels, probably on time this week as well. And in our eighth season, we are here to review the Mexican Grand Prix. Of course, that is 2019. We'll probably mention a little bit about Japan as well, because we haven't done that yet, and a little bit in between too. I am sports journalist Michael Bailey. You've probably forgotten my voice. Hello there. Thank you very much for listening to us. Tonight's pod, we have 2 times Beckles Kart champion Carl Cumbers.
Good evening.
And Damon Hill, radical and blogger, blogs on wheels, Richard Baxter.
Good evening.
Most of the time host now as well.
Part-time host. That's what I've been saying. Filling in for the master.
not sure about that.
The master's apprentice in bed.
Gents, so lovely to see you. It has been far too long. How are you, Rich? Thank you, by the way, on the record now, a big thanks to all these guys for all the work they've done since the summer break, because they have kind of been out on their own pretty much. They've done a sterling job. The delays were not their fault in any way, so I owe them an apology, but brilliant work. Well done, Rich. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And to be honest, we love it. We love talking about F1, so it's nice that you have us on here to talk about it. So I really appreciate it. I'm sure everyone else does as well.
They're very kind, and let's hope they do. All the podcasts are out there that we've recorded, by the way. You'd have seen probably a sudden flux of them, both on Patreon, Audio Boom, all the usual places you listen to us. They will all be there, and they will have covered everything up until the Japanese Grand Prix, which we didn't get a podcast out. It does happen. It has, you know, our eighth year, it has happened occasionally when we haven't done a podcast after a race. So it's not something that has never happened before, but it hasn't happened in a fair while. So we will touch on the Japanese Grand Prix too, of course. Kyle, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, keeping busy. But yeah, all good.
Good man. It's lovely to see you both. Shall we get stuck straight into it then, I reckon? If you are listening on Patreon, welcome. This is going to be your full fat podcast, because these are back-to-back race weekends, aren't they, before we head to
the United States of America.
Woof. So that is good. If you are listening on anything else other than Patreon, thanks. And if you want to hear the podcast in full, head over to patreon.com, patreon.com/nrf1, where you'll be able to sign up to listen to the full fat podcast. Very briefly then, Japan. Mercedes were crowned constructors champions for the sixth successive season. I was sorting out one of the rooms in my house, and I picked up a F1 magazine, I think it was, from 2013. Lewis and Nico on the front cover. Why Mercedes has to succeed. I think they have. Haven't they, really, since then?
They've done all right, haven't they?
I should have brought it with me.
They've done all right. They are unbeatable at the moment. And the other teams, Red Bull and Ferrari, got to do a lot to try and beat them over a season. Ferrari may have I've had the quickest car this year, debatable over the last few years, but Mercedes keep completing this Constructors' Championship, and quite early in the season. It's not like their last race, they dominate it. And full credit to the Brackley and Brixworth and Stuttgart and wherever else they are, but it's a well-run team.
All the huge amount of people they employ. I mean, do we care? Because you're looking at probably the most resourced team, probably still, even ahead of Ferrari. Certainly the most coherently led, and in terms of resource. So does that take anything away from what they've done in the past 6 years? Or do you just go, well, fair play, of course you spent the most money, but you still have to deliver on it?
I mean, it's kind of proves the point. You know, if you put the work in, then you get the results.
Money?
Well, yeah, they get that as well. they've put a lot of money into it. There's no denying that. They've put a lot into it. And to be fair to them, I think they have... I mean, we've experienced here in Norwich ourselves, they're good to the fans. We had the pop-up store open in the Chapelfield shopping centre.
That's true, we did. We never put that video out, did we?
I don't think we ever did.
No, that's on the pile somewhere.
I have still got it. But yeah, we went down there and we looked around the store. and we sat in a mock-up of a Formula One car. So they give back to the fans, and you know, if as long as they do that, you know, if they keep winning and actually get the fans involved, then great, good for the sport.
It is indeed, and it is quite an exceptional run. Ferrari, have they sort of bollocked it up this year? Because have they improved the car over the course of the season? Because quite clearly, since the summer break, they've shown how quick they are, yes, both in qualifying, yeah, and in race pace. So that's been, I found that really impressive. The problem is they do still screw it up in terms of strategy, because I think in terms of, if we flip now to the Mexican Grand Prix, I mean, did they not just screw that up?
Yeah.
With both cars. But leaving themselves with the wrong tyre and the wrong... I don't even know how they... These are clever people.
Yeah, they just seem to get themselves in a mess. I mean, they've had, what, every pole position since the summer break. So, sort of start of the year, we all thought Ferrari was the quickest car. And there's a few races they should have won. But then I think Mercedes stepped up, and they've obviously understood the car since the summer break, and that is by far the quickest car ever, especially over one lap. But it's just, it started from Russia, when they overcomplicated the whole start of a race to toes and let people by, and you're like, just race and it'll sort itself out. And this weekend they just don't, a bit reactive in a way. They could have, when they pitted Leclerc when Albon stopped, they could have waited a little while. But then they kind of made that mistake, but then they probably should have pitted Vettel before Hamilton pitted. You knew it was going to come along, but I think Bonotto's kind of said, well, you can't pit first when you're in the lead, but teams have done it for years. You just have to kind of guess it, and they're just getting it wrong. If it was like a one-off race, you go, well, maybe they're a bit unlucky, but they keep getting it wrong most races. So, yeah, maybe they've got a little review. I don't know, the strategy, because we obviously know that Mercedes is James Vowles, because he's quite well known now. I don't know if Ferrari have a strategy guy per car or one for the two cars, I'm not too sure, but I think it needs a bit of review.
I mean, they have been bottling this up for years now as well.
Yeah, I mean, they've tried changing the top guy. Obviously, last year it was Riva Bene, and now they've put Binotto in charge, and it's kind of not really made any difference, has it? I mean, I don't know if it's just me, but Binotto doesn't seem to really be in control. He's just kind of a yes man to his two drivers, and he's trying to keep them both happy.
Isn't that the issue, though? When was the last time the team principal felt like they were running the show properly? But yeah, I don't know.
You go back to it. I always remember Ross Brawn in, I believe it was 2013 in Korea, when he was with Mercedes, and he had Hamilton in third and Rosberg in fourth, and Rosberg was catching Hamilton. He was on fresher tyres, and he said, oh, I can catch him, I can overtake. And Ross Brawn said, no, stay behind. And Rosberg said, no, but I'm faster. And Ross just said, no, hold position, please, we're not doing this, there's nothing to be gained going ahead, we're bringing this home for the team. And they just did it.
Malaysia,
was that Multi-21 day, wasn't
it?
Yeah,
I'm sure it was Malaysia.
Malaysia then. I wasn't sure, I thought it was Korea, but I was wrong.
But that's right.
It's that far of the world.
Yeah. Oh, and it was a key thing. And again, it underlines, again, it was a joint interview with Toto Wolff and Ross Brawn in this 2013 F1 magazine. I didn't read it all. I just saw it and kind of forgotten that Ross Brawn was kind of so intrinsic to what Mercedes did in those early years.
So he kind of built the foundations for what it is now, didn't he?
Well, good old Ferrari. They'll have another review. Binotto will probably get sacked, and someone else will have another go. And
I'll give it a go.
Yeah,
I'll give it a go. I'd love to.
We'll have to get Stuart Webber back on the podcast. I reckon he quite fancy being team principal of Ferrari. He's probably got more of a chance than any of us.
He's so straight talking. He'd just be like, shut up, Seb.
Yeah. You just have to learn to do it in Italian. That's the only thing, which is a fair point. Can I just say, by the way, I know I've been away for a few weeks, I loved what Seb did in Russia with Charles. I thought it was brilliant. Hilarious. You know, not great for Charles Leclerc and complete Ferrari mishaps, but still amusing to watch. Just going back one more point on Japan, Valtteri Bottas won the race. He was very excited. Did anyone get particularly excited by that? Or was it just like, well, yeah, we know he can have his day, but that's not the issue anymore? Which is me kind of telling you how I felt.
That's the bit I didn't quite understand, because it's great he won. You know, Everybody likes Valtteri, don't they? He seems a decent guy.
As a person, yeah.
Yeah, and he was quick all weekend and deserved his win. But there are people going about, oh, Valtteri's in great form now. One race, just calm down. He's we had Valtteri 2.0 at the start of the season, which didn't last long.
Badass Bottas.
I'd forgotten about that. Badass Bottas. He was sticking his fingers up and everything, wasn't he? Yeah, that lasted one race. I honestly think that lasted the first race, didn't it? That was it, Australia.
Yeah, I mean, he looked to really be alive at the start of the season, then.
Well, one race.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly don't think it was beyond.
I mean, after that, he still had the kind of edge to him where he wasn't the same, but then he's kind of mellowed out over the season, I guess. And
all there was he just swore on the radio after the race, didn't he?
Yeah.
And everybody's going to listen to Valtteri 2.0. And, like,
and there was the two-finger picture.
Yeah. But it's just, he's always going to have those races because he's a quick driver.
Exactly.
But over a season, he's not as quick as Lewis. And that's just the way it is.
he's a one-in-five racer, isn't he? You can tell every four races he'll struggle a bit. And one of those, probably, he'll turn up and just be completely off it and he'll finish eighth. And that's it. And that's, you know, that's why he's probably a brilliant number two driver, to be honest.
I was going to say, I think he's the perfect teammate, because when you need him to, he will still get a good result. He'll still pick up points for the team and still do the job. And, you know, he'll bring it home if he needs to get his elbows out. He can, you know, we've seen him do it in the past. But his, you know, general pace isn't quite up there with the best, you would say. And, you know, he just needs to find that probably extra strength, you could say, more consistency as well, just to keep it. I mean, it sounds stupid to say about any Formula One driver when they're so consistent with their times, but if he can be, you know, his badass pace, if he can be that fast all the time, then we've got a hell of a season in store.
Yeah. It's not gonna happen, is it? Just briefly, in terms of driver lineups confirmed for next season, can anyone remember where we are up to? I appreciate I've been a bit out of the loop recently. So
we previously mentioned a few races ago, Grosjean is confirmed.
That's
with
right.
Magnussen.
Yeah, great decision.
Bottas is also confirmed. We had that a while ago.
Yeah,
I think
we know Kubica's season will be his last, don't we?
Yeah, he might get a drive at Haas as their reserve driver or test driver or something.
Yeah.
We know Ocon's at Renault with Danny Ric, Sir Ricciardo, so we don't know where Nico Hülkenberg will be yet.
Nope, he's still looking for a place and it doesn't look good, does it?
I think he'll end up at Williams. If he can get some money backing him, he'll end up at Williams, I think.
I think, although Latifi thinks, yeah. Sounds like the favourite, so
can't see Ferrari changing, can we?
No, obviously Red Bull haven't confirmed.
No, they haven't confirmed. I don't think they will confirm that until the end of the season.
It's Albon's and
basically if they say this guy is probably going to be here next year, you can almost guarantee that is not the case. After they said all the start of the season, yeah, there's no plans to replace Gasly. No, Gasly's going to stay. And then we got to, where was it, Hungary or wherever, and it was just like, Gasly's dropped, get Albon in, get Alex in the car. And it's just like, after all that you were talking, it's just, oh.
What have they said much about next year? Yeah, Red Bull?
No, I think they're keeping it open. Although there's quite some interesting comments from Norfolk's own Martin Brundle the weekend, that apparently the Verstappen camp, I assume his dad's been talking to Martin, that they want an experienced teammate.
Yeah, someone who's going to, you know, maybe not push him.
Yeah,
he's got more points, hasn't he, since he got into the seat than Max in the Red Bull. I mean, that is some stat. That,
yeah, I know. Like, they bring in penalties and things, but also Verstappen this weekend, in Mexico. You know, this is going forward to Mexico. He had pole position. He came out and said he ignored the Bottas's crash and the yellow flag. And he's happy if the stewards delete the time. So we got a penalty inflicted himself from his own stupid comment and almost arrogance about it. And then during the race, he just seemed to be kind of ultra aggressive because he was a bit kind of on edge and wound up. And he kind of cost himself his own race because it was he was getting caught up in these incidents. And I mean, he probably could have avoided them, to be honest.
I wonder what's going on behind the scenes there. It'd be very interesting.
Let's sort of back to the second seat at Red Bull. It's going to have to be Albon because you just compare him to Gasly. At least he's in. I mean, he's been sort of the back of the, should we say, the front six. But at least he's been in the race, and you can see him in the race. Where Gasly was just middle of nowhere, wasn't he?
Look at Sunday, start of the race, he was running third. He was keeping pace with the two Ferraris ahead. They weren't dropping him. You know, he wasn't. He was keeping pace, and it was like, he's a good driver, you know.
Consistency is on another level, and I think they're not idiots, are they? So, but I love the Verstappen camp. Well, get us Nico Hülkenberg in, because we know he'll f*** up any chance to get a podium, so that would be brilliant. Lewis won in Mexico. We should probably talk about that. Did we enjoy the race? I watched an abridged version, so I'll confess. But was it there? Was it there for you?
It was a yes and a no race. It was. I wrote in my latest blog, which I published earlier today.
Where did you publish it, Rich?
On Blogs on Wheels. Just Google Blogs on Wheels, or one word, you find it. But basically, I put the race was. This is just a little insider to the blog. Read more to find all the words. But it was alive to a letdown, because it was the race was kind of coming alive. We could see what was going to happen. Different strategies from different teams and different drivers, and it was just we're going to have a hell of a finish here. And then the last 30 laps, pretty much, you're waiting for it to happen, and then nothing did. It was just, yeah, we're going to finish the race like this.
It's difficult at this stage of the season, I always think, because they all know too much. it obviously doesn't help when Ferrari completely screw it up, but you know that you kind of sense that no one's going to take a risk. It's almost how it feels like, maybe at this stage.
Yeah, I totally agree. Rich, it was building up, and then you sort of last 15 laps, you realised that it's just going to stay the way it is. Which appears to be a problem with Mexico and the cars overheating. They seem to hit 1.5 seconds and just couldn't get any closer. But it was a decent race. But the strategy made it in the first half interesting, which leads me back to using all three compounds of tyre.
Only they'd listen to you, Kyle.
It's a decent race.
That'll do for me. Right, if you are listening on Audio Boom and the like, we are going to head over to the Patreon pod and rattle through our NRF1 podcast and the Of the Weekends. If you want to hear those, head over to patreon.com/NRF1. Right, a quick squiz ahead to the US, then, shall we? I always like this track, but then I get the impression that a lot of people feel it's a bit gimmicky. But I've always enjoyed it. It's, we know when it came along, and Lewis likes it, so it tends to maybe have not been such sparkling races there. But it's sort of is that time of the season where people know what they're doing.
It looks a challenging track. It's sort of. Some good races over the years, decent bit of overtaking as well, decent crowds, always looks a decent atmosphere, especially for America, which has struggled the last few decades. I think it's a really good addition to the, it's got a bit of character to the track, the first corner, and I think it's probably been one of the best new additions of recent years. So I always really look forward to the US Grand Prix. And normally sort of had a few title deciders there as well. So yeah, all good with me.
Which it probably will be this time. I think Lewis needs 4 points, doesn't he, to guarantee it?
Yeah, 4 points. So I mean, it's so far ahead, it's pretty much guaranteed, unless almost a car failure or something.
Nah.
Bottas has still got a win. Yeah. Even Hamilton pulls off after lap one and has a barbecue or something. I think Bottas has still got to win, so
it's not Fernando. Brilliant. Okay, well, we will of course look forward to the events in the US, and we will be with you after that race too. The prediction league is all still locked and loaded, and I will be sorting out all the results before the end of the season, but you will probably have to give me until the end of the season to go through them all, so apologies that is how it's worked out, but this year hasn't been entirely what I was expecting. A lot's gone on. Let's make our predictions then. We will do them in full. You lucky people listening free, you're going to probably get them. I don't know, I might chop them. If you only listen to one, then you're only getting one. Depends how much editing I could be bothered to do.
Yeah, we had that on the one Ped hosted. It was that for our Patreon listeners.
It got very confusing. I think I just cut that out, to be honest.
I was listening on Spotify at work, and I was just like, they're all there. It's a nice little bonus for everyone else.
Exactly, yeah. So, but if you want to make your predictions too, especially if you're listening to this on Patreon, then do so. If you can submit them onto the Patreon website, that would be ideal, please. Patreon.com/NRF1. If you get the best results of that particular race weekend, then you are up for a £5 credit to either motorsport-merchandise.com, which is hopefully still in existence, or the Classic Team Lotus online shop, and we'll be adding all those together so that people get totals of what they've won come the end of the season. I can see Rich is just putting his predictions in, which is unusual. You're normally much better prepared than that. Carl hasn't got them written down, but you are looking at the matrix of who has finish where this season. So Kyle, would you like to go first with your American predictions? Remember the two caveats: you've got to get them in before the start of FP1, and there's a maximum of 5 that you can make.
I'm going for a Hamilton win.
Yep.
Win the championship obviously as well. A Ferrari will be on pole.
Oof.
But Lewis will win.
Actually, it's not a big thing though, is it? They've done that all second half of the season.
I'll go Vettel on pole.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go there. I'm gonna go for, because you've got the Haas prediction as it's kind of a home race. They'll get a point, at least, which would be nice for them. Lando Norris deserves a bit of luck because he's been really unlucky recently, and I'll go for him to be top 6.
Okay.
And as I mentioned, Alfa Romeo earlier, Kimi Raikkonen will get into Q3.
Love it. Probably false start when he jumps the start when come the race. Good work, Kyle. I will say that Lewis won't win the race. Obviously, he'll still be world champion. Don't think I'm going to get any points for that. I think that I can't work out whether to go Max will continue in his rut or break it. So let's say Max is going to win the race. There you go. And let's also say that Lando Norris is for Lando. his form luck won't change and he won't pick up any points. And I'm going to throw in that... let's do really random. Giovinazzi will finish ahead of Lance Stroll. There you go. Just throw that one out there. Rich.
Okay, I am going to say that McLaren will finish 5th and 8th because they have an American team principal, so that's my American link. Alex Albon will get the fastest lap. And Racing Point will move ahead of Renault in the Constructors' Championships.
Well, there we go. They all sound like they're worth kudos points, those three. You know what? I think we are done. Thank you so much, gents. It's been an absolute pleasure to share the pod with you, and far too long. Thank you all for listening. Hope you've enjoyed it as always. Is this the Fantasy League, Rich?
Yes, it is indeed, yeah.
Who's top of that?
Someone. Aussie. It doesn't give you names, it gives you the name.
Oh, that is a massive flaw, yeah.
So
we don't know who any of these people are.
No, Aussie is top. Streaking Silver Sharks 2.0 second, and Yellow Pookie Racing third. Andrew.
Well done, Andrew. Good work. I can't even remember what I'm called in that. So, well done, Andrew. You're leading, which makes you a better human than all of us. Thank you all so much for listening.
You're there. You're ninth. Michael Bailey. Failure one team. Failure one. I like that. I get it.
Failure one team.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's me. Did I come up with that?
Well, it's got your name in it, so I know.
Well, it has, but I wonder if someone else has come up with that.
Ooh. Let's press it, see what it says.
Identity
theft.
It says Michael.
Oh, maybe it is me. That was a good pun. and true as well, sums up a lot. Right, we are done. You don't all have to join into the F1 Fantasy League, don't worry at all. Thank you so much for your time. It's always a pleasure, and it has been nice to come back to the pod. Thank you for your support. I hope you've enjoyed the full pod on patreon.com/nrf1. If you've only had the abridged version, remember you can go to that said web address to log in and listen to the whole thing in full. It is back-to-back race weekend, which means, of course, this race weekend weekend. We will be in the US. We won't physically, but we will be back the other side of it for another podcast. And maybe one year. Yeah, we should add that to the list. And we will, of course, bring you all our thoughts after that one in E256. Hopefully, I've got all those right. In the meantime, it's a big thanks to Future Radio. Just realized my flies are undone. Big thanks to Future Radio. Big thanks to the Rush Cutters for hosting it. It's thanks to Kyle. Thank you so much, Kyle.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rich. Well done.
Thank you. Well done yourself.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thanks to all you guys and girls. We really appreciate it. This has been the NRF1 podcast. Enjoy the sights and sounds of Austin. We will see you on the other side. And we will see you on the other side of what will probably be Lewis Hamilton's sixth world. I was doing so well. World driver's title. What a guy. I'm sure we'll talk about him, especially if he doesn't end up winning it. That would be quite the story. Until then, a very good night to you all.